Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Have you ever become too emotional? Haven't we all? Would you like to learn how to control your emotions? Well, who wouldn't? Have you ever wanted to know what your pets are? I'm not talking about your dog or your cat. Pets stand for personal emotional triggers. Would you like to know what those are? Can you imagine that there are 7 easy steps to mastering your emotions? Yeah, you heard me, 7. Now tell me, do you know what the term crunch time means? It sounds like something you do on a football field. When was the last time you heard about a book called Your Killer Emotions? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that you're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn how to be successful? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. He provides us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. Before I introduce my guest, I'd love to invite you to call in during the show if you have any questions. The call-in number is 818-431-8506. I'm pleased to announce that our show today is featured on the front page at blogtalkradio.com. And I am honored to be a featured host, and we now have over 800,000 fabulous listeners. Now, let me tell you a little bit about my guest today. He graduated magna cum laude from Harvard University, where his honors thesis was devoted to the science of decision-making. He later graduated from Cornell Law School, where he focused on conflict resolution. He currently owns and operates the country's premier news and hosting representation firm, Kinlinder & Associates. Among the many notable individuals whose careers he has helped to develop are Matt Lauer, Lester Holt, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, Mario Lopez, and Robin Mead. My guest is the founder of Life Choice Psychology, and he has counseled thousands of individuals over the past 30 years and help them make life-enhancing personal and professional decisions. His missions are to enable individuals to make well throughout positive thought choices and to those choices to develop empowering feelings of high self-esteem. I am so pleased to welcome to the show today Kinlinder. Hi, Ken. How are you doing?
I am great, January. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Oh, we're so happy to have you on the show. Killer emotions, wow, that's a big topic. We've all had them, haven't we?
Yes, I believe we have. And, you know, as I mentioned, or as you mentioned, actually, I've been counseling individuals for over 30 years, and I've counseled thousands upon thousands of people, January.
Uh-huh.
And one thing I've learned, if you make life choices when you are angry or enraged, or
uh-huh.
when you are hurt, when you feel sad, when you feel hopeless, when you're paralyzed by fear, when you feel disrespected, oftentimes you will opt for a quick emotion assuaging fix to
mm-hmm.
make you feel good for the moment.
Right.
But most times that quick fix decision is counter to what you really want in the long term of your life and what you would do in a cognitively clear moment, and you wind up making a self-sabotaging life choice which you dearly regret.
Oh, yeah. That happens so often. You know, everyone's talking about a new television show, Anger Management,
yes.
and we've watched it, and it is quite funny and humorous. It's a big topic these days, isn't it?
Absolutely. We have a lot of pent-up rage, and that oftentimes comes from our backgrounds and
mm-hmm.
and other things. But the problem is I see way too many people who are like a seething powder keg waiting for a match to come along. And that's why you see all this road rage
yeah.
and everything else. But the problem is that people express their anger at inappropriate times, and it can sabotage your personal life. It could sabotage your professional life, which is why I wrote Your Killer Emotions, because I want to help people master their emotions, change the behaviors they want to change, and break up their toxic scripting. And what I mean by that is, if you're in an emotional funk, if you're sad, mm-hmm. angry, or you're just not feeling emotionally right that day, and you reach for the drink, something happens and you reach for the drink, you reach for the cigarette, you go back to the bad guy, the bad girl, you let your mother or somebody at work push your emotional buttons, not good things can result.
Oh, no, no. And you mentioned, I don't want you to give the book away, but you told me that there are 7 steps to mastering your emotions. Could you briefly go over those 7 steps with us?
Sure. The 7 steps, January, are comprised of 3 sort of sections. The first 4 sections, and I'll tell you what they are in a moment, I call your prevent offense. And
uh-huh.
and what I mean by that is you prepare ahead of time to make a positive life choice when you get to crunch time, which is the time you make your life choice. You always want to be prepared before that moment. You know,
mm-hmm.
a pilot doesn't go fly a plane without a flight plan. They'll
right.
go, hey, I think I'll do it this way. You
yeah.
know ahead of time what you are going to do. And you even know what you're going to do even when you have to deviate. So
mm-hmm.
the thing is, you want to be preparatory. So the first step is identify that there have been problems in the past with life choice making. You drank too much. You ate too much. You,
uh-huh.
you know, you were angry at the wrong times. You said the wrong thing. Whatever it is, you want to identify honestly and openly that there's a problem that needs changing. The second step is to identify the relevant personal emotional triggers that will help you
uh-huh.
get through this. And let me give you, if I can, a little story. I think this will resonate with everyone, and that is, somebody came to me for counseling the other day, and this person's father died of esophageal cancer, and this person's brother died of esophageal cancer, and
mm-hmm.
he was drinking himself to death. He
yeah.
would feel sad, angry, and he'd reach for the bottle. He could not break that toxic script. So I said to him, what are the things you want, you hate, you loathe the most? And he came back to me and said, well, I have an autistic daughter, and if I die, there'll be nobody there to take care of Luann.
Oh,
and then
dear.
He said, and the thought of having my mom bury me, the grieving over her son, would be too much for me to take. And the third thing is, I really want to be there for the weddings and the grandchildren of my children. So those are the three things that drive me more than anything else. So they're not positive things necessarily. Some of the things, you know, he fears the most, the fear of his mother burying him, the fear that he won't be there for Luann. So I said to him, what I want you to do before you are tempted to take a drink is say to yourself, am I going to take this drink and drink myself to death the way my father and brother did, or am I going to not take the drink and be there for Luann, not have my mother go through this grief, and be there for my kids? And those personal emotional triggers or pets, which are, as I said, very personal, they drive you more than anything else. They're meaningful for you. Stopped, dynamited that script of always reaching for the drink. The first 6 months, he stumbled a couple of times, took two drinks, and thereafter stopped drinking.
Wow.
And that's what I mean by finding your personal emotional triggers. We all have them. And they're the things that motivate us the very most. And they'll motivate you to reach a positive life choice. So the fourth step then is to develop your frame. And the frame was for this person. Again, I'm not going to drink because I want to be there for Luann, my mom, and my children. And then visualize Luann being alone.
Oh,
nobody
wow.
there.
Basically,
an orphan. Visualize your mom hearing about your death and having to bury you. Visualizing never seeing your grandkids and all the beautiful positives.
Oh, yeah.
So I call it a frisual. It's a frame plus a visualization of the worst and the best things that can happen from a positive life choice or a negative life choice. Then the next step, which is the fifth step, is to, when you have the opportunity to make a positive life choice, don't get sucked into a vitriolic exchange. Don't take the drink. Don't binge eat. Whatever it is, don't smoke. Whatever it is, you have already developed your frame, your visual, and nail that life choice. And then the other steps basically are review the step or review the process to see if you've done well. If you've done really well, January, celebrate it. Feel good. Because one thing I've learned in counseling all these people, if you feel good about who you are and you feel confident that you can affect positive change in your life, then you will be empowered to make more positive life choices because you have the confidence to know that you can change your life positively. And you feel like you are worth making positive decisions for. You feel like you deserve them. So if you feel good about who you are, you will make positive life choices in the future. Conversely, if you make a mistake, just honestly identify it and think about how you could have changed the process, done better. Know we're all human. One snowflake does not a blizzard make. One pebble does not a mountain make. One slip-up hopefully will not cause a big problem. Just do it better the next time, and that becomes your first step again of identifying the fact that there was a problem, a flaw, and you just fix it.
Wow.
The last part of this is, I think, what makes your killer emotions so unique, and that is, you know, oftentimes when people lose weight, they have a motivating event. New year, new me. I'm swimsuit season. I'm going on a cruise. Got a new love interest. But when that motivating event goes away, people lose their steam.
Right.
And that's why New Year's resolutions go away so quickly. That's why people stop losing weight. And that's why Jenny Craig and all these places have huge sign-ups at the beginning of the year. And then 2 months later, most are gone. What I talk about in your killer emotions is to continue to find your pets, your motivators, so that you can continue to be motivated to make good life choices throughout your life so you can sustain making positive life choices, toxic-free life choices for the rest of your life.
Well, this is just fantastic, seven steps, and thank you so much for sharing those. Right now we're going to hear a little bit about your host, and when we come back with Ken, he's going to share his websites. And I have a lot more questions for Ken. We'll be right back.
Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back with my guest, Ken Linder. And Ken, could you please share your website information and tell my listeners how they can get your book?
That would be my pleasure, January. First of all, my website is www.yourkilleremotions.com, and it has all sorts of articles and other information about your killer emotions, the 7 steps to mastering the toxic emotions, urges, and impulses that sabotage you.
Mm-hmm.
Your killer emotions is available at barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com, and at bookstores all over.
Oh, yeah. I went to your website. It's fabulous. There's some downloads. There's life choice, psychology, toxic emotions, motivate yourself, positive ownership, and overcoming obesity. Fantastic website. Ken, let's talk a little bit about crunch time. That term, I love it. Could you elaborate with it?
Sure. You know, crunch time, I'm an athlete, and I view things quite often with an athletic perspective. And crunch time is usually, in sports, that moment where a game can go either way. It's a pivotal moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's when star performers excel. And I love that concept, because when you're about to make a life choice that's important, especially,
mm-hmm.
and you have some conflicting emotions, values, other things that are pulling you one way or another, this is when I want my readers and the people I counsel to become star performers at
mm-hmm.
crunch time. I want them to make cognitively clear, strategic decisions. And what I talk about in Your Killer Emotions is I want people to make golden and truthful life choices. And what I mean by that is when I talk about your gold are the things you want most in your life. Great health, a beautiful family,
mm-hmm.
a great job, something that stimulates you, makes you happy. Things that really matter. Obviously, having enough money to educate your children, having the things that really, really count for you. That's your goal. Your truth is the person you aspire to be, the kind of person who conducts their business and their life in a way that you can be proud of.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so important about your truth is, as I mentioned earlier, if you feel good about who you are, you'll feel that you're worth making positive decisions for. We are a very, very quick fix society.
Yeah.
We want everything now. And we don't practice the art of discipline and delayed gratification.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, in order to achieve our biggest dreams, we've got to be disciplined. We've got to delay gratification. You only can do that, I believe, if you feel like you are worth making good decisions for, and your future is worth making good decisions for, and you have the ability to affect positive change in your life. By making positive life choices, you feel that way. So it's very empowering.
Now, Ken, could you give us some examples of some well-known people who have made poor life choices and examples of people who have made positive life choices?
Well, for example, obviously Lance Armstrong appears to have made some very destructive life choices, and his must-win-at-all-costs decision-making obviously is costing him in every way. It's costing him his legacy. It's cost him allegedly $75 million in endorsements one day. He was asked to step down from Livestrong, the board of a company that he founded. It's obviously causing tremendous problems within his family. Or Arnold Schwarzenegger, same thing. Tiger Woods when he was at Eagle – I'm sorry, Tiger Woods when he engaged in his alleged affairs. I can go on and on. Lindsay Lohan. I mean, there are plenty of people. And even you mentioned earlier about anger management. I mean, Charlie Sheen, I don't know him, so I can't say he wanted to go off Two and a Half Men, but I sort of have the feeling he has conducted himself in a way that maybe in clearer moments he might not have done. So those are examples of people who have let their urges or their emotions cloud their best judgment at crunch time. And January, this is really important. I talk about this in your killer emotions. We, again, as a quick fix society, never think about the harsh, horrific consequences of our acts. And if we did, you know, if Lance Armstrong thought about all the things that could happen to him, if Tiger Woods thought about all the things that could happen to him, if Kobe Bryant in Eagle, Colorado, had thought about the fact that he could go to jail and never play basketball again and lose everything, I would hope that that would be enough of a deterrent when you think about the shame, the loss, the you know, the degradation of all of this. I would hope that, that those energy charges would be so strong that it would put a stop to that behavior before it began.
Yes, yeah.
And, okay, I'll give you an example of a positive life choice, and this is something that I dealt with. I have the honor and pleasure to represent Matt Lauer. And Matt's dream was to always host the Today Show. And in a prior book about broadcasting, I talk about the fact that Matt was the newsreader on the Today Show, and at that point, Bryant Gumbel didn't look like he was going to leave the Today Show because the show was doing really well. And Bryant was Matt's best friend. So Matt is a very, very loyal and principled person. He was never going to go for Bryant's job. So NBC came along and said, why don't you host Access Hollywood, our new show? And I said to Matt, you know, what's your goal? What is your goal? And he said, well, what I really want to do is still host the Today Show. And even though Access Hollywood would have paid him three times what he was making as the newsreader on the Today Show, he didn't veer from his dream of staying on the course to host the Today Show. He didn't go for the immediate gratification of hosting his own show and making three times the amount of money he'd make. And he made a great life choice because a year later, Bryant left. He got Bryant's job, and it was a seamless transition because Bryant left on his own. And Matt has been hugely successful, and I believe the best morning host ever.
He's wonderful. Now, Ken, let me ask you a question. What life-changing event, what decision have you had to make in your own personal life that's led to your success?
Well, I would think the biggest one, January, is how actually I came across this concept for your killer emotions of finding your personal emotional triggers. I was an obese child because my mom was always home with me. She was a stay-at-home mom. My dad worked 6 days a week many nights. What I didn't understand when I was six and seven was that my dad wanted my mom to be there for me and for me to get the best education that he never had, because his father died very early on, and he didn't have any education to speak of. He was self-taught. And so the problem was I intuited that my mom was always there, so she loved me. My dad was never there, so he didn't love me. So I felt tremendous rejection. I felt I was unloved, unlovable, uh-huh. and that my dad didn't care about me. So I would, every time I think about it, I would go in my room and binge eat. And I'd eat everything I could find.
Inside.
And I was truly obese. Uh-huh. And then one day, I was with my dad on a Sunday, and we were watching a paddle tennis or paddleball exhibition, and
uh-huh.
I realized by the way my dad was talking and how much he loved sports, the uh-huh. way I was going to bond with my dad was being athletic.
Okay.
And I wanted my dad's love, which was my strongest pet. I wanted my dad's love more than anything. And the way I was going to bond with him was being an athlete, and there, and as a result, I needed to get thin.
Mm-hmm.
So from that day on,
yeah.
I would say, am I going to eat this food and continue to be the fat pig that I feel myself to be, unable to change my life? I hate the way I look. I can't get girls in class to view me romantically.
Right.
They view me as a fat class clown. I can't fit into the clothes that other kids can wear because I had to shop in the Husky section.
Uh-huh.
I said, do I want to keep being fat, or do I want to forego this food, get my dad's love, which I want more than anything else, get this girl who I had a crush on in school mm-hmm. to view me romantically, and do I want to fit into the cool jeans that other kids can wear? And those three personal emotional triggers, I didn't articulate it this way, but those three motivators.
Subliminally.
Yes, basically, stopped me from having fattening foods.
Uh-huh.
And
changed your life.
Changed my life because, one, I got thin. I got uh-huh. to be a good athlete and bonded with my dad. And I won national titles in two sports. I played number one for Harvard, and mm-hmm. I beat Arthur Ashe years ago in an exhibition match and won the national intercollegiate doubles at Princeton years ago in the wintertime. And I've accomplished a lot of things. And what I also learned was I've got to continue to find my motivators, and those were mm-hmm. I want to live a vital life like my dad, who lived to be 102 months. And now I've got two beautiful children and a wonderful wife, and now I want to be around for them for years and years. So I continue to forego the fattening foods. I don't eat any fried foods to speak of. And I use my pets to continue to motivate me to keep me healthy because I have things that motivate me more than eating the food.
Oh, Ken, thank you so much for sharing that personal story. And I've loved having you with us today, and I hope we can plan on having you back in the near future.
Well, January, it's been an absolute pleasure. I hope you have a beautiful, beautiful day and that your listeners have one as well.
Thank you. For my listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today. And be sure to catch all of our interviews with these amazing guests like Ken with constant streaming at blogtalkradio.com 24/7. My upcoming guests for this week are all exciting, eclectic, energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and they will astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you become successful, too. If you've enjoyed our show today, please click the follow tab under my picture and become a regular listener by registering with blogtalkradio.com. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful no whining world. Remember my mantra, if you think it, you can do it. And now my chocolate comment for the day, I could give up chocolate, but I'm not a quitter and I'm not a whiner. So, dear listeners, for now, stop whining, start smiling, and start sharing our success show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest, Ken Linder, author of Your Killer Emotions. This is January Jones thanking all of you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.